Okay, welcome everybody. I think this is Thursday 13th. At least it's not Friday. Does anybody have any questions while I pull up everything? Anybody got any comments or questions? Anybody in the room? I need to share my screen. I'm recording. Share screen. And oops. I want to do that. Show video panel. Hide the recording controls. So I'm sharing the screen. Everybody can hear. And I got, so one thing, where those that are interested and those that are not. I uploaded the WCM manual on the website, and they got a nice theory section in here that I've been looking at. So please read over that, and it will help you understand. What I do is take the equations off and we can talk about them about a bit. And I'm going to try to make some of the plots and some of the data on there, but you can read the WCM manual. And this is a 2000, but the 3000 is the same, except it racks the second smaller hot wire wire. So read that in your spare time. It's quite extensive. And let's see if I can do it this way. I added some new slides this morning. There we go. Show our downloads. Oh, I don't want to go down. And we are opening file. Turn off my phone. Let's see here. Let's start from this tools. Show. Let's see if this will work on the second screen. There we go. Okay, I fixed a couple of my slides from last week. Got my plot to line up. We are looking at the total water content sensor and the liquid water. And up here is the compensating element. Maybe I should put a put a line and add that in up on the top. And then I showed you the max water content is approximately 7 grams per meter cube, depending on your airspeed. And I fixed that. This is limited to 0.01 grams. And then I made a new plot here. This is the overall time series for impacts with the P3 for all the times with all the files. And you'll see some of the blue has the liquid water content and the black is the total water content, so the black is always higher on this. And you see some of the values that are a little bit negative, that correction and their stuff doesn't quite get rid of. So I thought we would start by doing some comparisons of these. This is always kind of humbling in some sense. So I took all the data and plotted the King Probe liquid water content on the x-axis and the WCM liquid water content on the y-axis, grams per meter cubed. I did this for all the data from the impacts project. And I'm giving you to start from 0.1 up to 1.1, 1.7. So you can see the data that goes below the line on both the King and the WCM. I put the 1-to-1 line on there. I have the axis values the same so you can see them. I have the dots so you can really see where they are instead of stars. You can also see a couple obvious outliers here where you have WCM data and no King data. The opposite is kind of sporadic in terms of there's some WCM low values when there's higher King. There's the 1-to-1 line, correlation coefficient, 0.66 with a lot of scatter, and then an equation to fit the WCM to the King. It goes close to zero, but the King now is about half of what the WCM is. So if you got one on the King probe, you only get about 0.5 on the WCM. So you think maybe the King isn't high enough. And so we're off by 50% here. Which one's right is the obvious answer. On these equations.
I have a couple questions.
Yeah.
First of all, this is like stunning that this is this far off. So are you showing us 1 hertz data here? There's not been any averaging.
Yeah, this is 1 hertz data for each of the values.
Okay. Have these two probes flown before? Have you ever done this for a different field campaign?
Yes. But I haven't seen this much data for it. I was going to work on another aircraft and see, supposedly they got better results than this. They flew these on the Citation this summer in Fargo. Mm. So they got a WCM 2000. But I think this is the first time anybody flown a 3000. So it's a little bit different head. Figuring out, how much these are and where's the uncertainty. It just gets more interesting when we keep looking at this. Any other comments right away? Besides, well, up by 50%. Why is that? The first thing I did was let's go and eliminate some of the negative values for this and just look at the positive ones. So I applied the filter there. Change your axis values a little bit from 0 to 1.6. And I double checked. I don't know if someone else wants to double check. I was pretty sure it's obvious that there's a little bit of a gap here on the king to filter it. And I checked that my filter was doing in 0.05. I looked at the statistics and there was no CDP data. Oops. And then I got to make sure did I do this wrong? Yes, this should be the same thing. This should not be CDP. This should be the King probe on this. So if anybody wants to check this, you can. On the data, maybe we can look at that a little bit later and I can fix the... but I'm pretty sure that I had the filters right when I did this. But I just did it this morning and I haven't checked. Changing it, you got the constant changes a little bit. 0.54 and 0.12. And you can see the 1-1 line is not going to do that. Must double the King probe. So I did that plot. So let's look at more comparisons. I took the crowd dropper probe liquid water content now and I put that on the x-axis and then put the WCM on the y. And someone needs to check this for me too, because you would think that the WCM would be higher than the CDP. I'm not sure, but maybe we have we should double check our calibration on the crowd droplet probe, because this says that the CDP, right, is higher. Pick 0.5, you put someplace here, and you don't get as much on the WCM. And you would think that with the WCM would be higher than the CDP. So do we have too much of a negative on some of the WCM that we're bringing it too low with our offsets? Do we not have we should double check that the calibrations are applied right.
So this is similar to the King, where the King is higher than the WCM?
Yes. So here's the King. So the King is higher than the WCM. So the WCM is the low one when you look at audios. So let's go. And now the next obvious thing, right, is we compared the King and the crowd dropper probe to the WCM. Now let's look at the crowd dropper probe to the King. So here, the King is higher than the CDP. And this is typically what you see, is that the King and the CDP are higher for this. You know, and you could explain this by the fact that there might be more particles that the King is sensing above 50 microns. But the king is higher than the WCM. So the other one is the WCM is lower. Split the difference. There's a mistake in the king probe and there's a mistake in the WCM, and we'll correct both of them and they all agree. So which one's the right one? For this, I think that was, yeah, that's the last comparison. The dangerous thing about doing this is I'm looking at the whole field project. So we need to start looking back at some individual flights, find some cases where we have the CDP spectrum and there's no big water. We'll look at somewhere there's just liquid water, so that liquid water is, the ice is not contaminating the liquid water measurements. And this is the first time I really, you know, did the processing code for WCM too. So, and we can go back and look and we do the calibrations for the CDP and for the WCM and the king. So we should reapply our newest calibrations for these.
Don't you bring in some subjective bias in that? If you're trying to find out which one is the actual, what do you adjust?
Well, you can't really just adjust them. All you can do is do the best on each one. So I'm not suggesting that any one of these is wrong. I don't know, you know, but this is the type of uncertainties a lot of times, and it gets frustrating. And people have been dealing with this for a long time, looking at what is the sample volume of the CDP? Do we have the correct one? Do we have the king probe dry air terms right? Do we have the equations correct? And stuff. So, and someone needs to tell me out there that you really want to get this better than 50%. You know, in terms of knowing that the liquid water is 0.5 versus 0.3 versus 0.7. So we can go through and submit the data like this, and then we can play around for the next 6 months and try to do all these things and try to do more calf rights on the probes. So everybody believes the measurements, no one believes models, but measurements are off all the time too. So other questions, aren't you seeing all the comparison plots? And this one I limited also to just having above zero CDP data.
So what happens in the field after we perform our calibration flights and we plot up something like this and we're getting some erroneous data that's, you know,
well, how erroneous?
Well,
so
like 2 times off.
Well, that might be okay. And so
would you leave it as is, or would you maybe say, hey, something's wrong with this probe, send it back and then get it recalibrated or do something?
Yeah, so you don't know which probe is the right one when you compare the two. I have this all the time too, like you know, you say there's something wrong with the probe, you know, the manufacturer says, no, it's the other probe. And the other probe manufacturer says, no, it's the other one.
Well, what if you have the King and the CDP agreeing within 30%, but then the WCM disagrees by 200%, 150%? Yeah.
But you still don't know. You could have two mistakes in the probes. you know, and I've seen that where I had multiple mistakes and you don't know which ones.
So you just can't do anything about it?
Well, you got to look at the data and, like I said, do more analysis. Look at the pick out time segments where you have some good clean data, where it is just water clouds, for example. And that's like you asked about, you know, do we have other cases? Well, yeah, but the other case is going to be summertime North Dakota. Very different clouds than in the impacts project. You know, they're flying through cumulus clouds with higher liquid water contents, pure liquid water, no ice.
So I can say that. So I'm looking at something similar from Olympics data, which is orographic warm clouds mixed phase. I see something very similar to this where the King is higher than the CDP. I haven't computed it in this way with the scatter plot and done a fit, but I would believe it's something pretty close to this.
Yeah.
Just based off of looking at the data.
And a lot of times you believe that because the, you know, you look at the cloud droplet spectrums and you see particles from 40 to 50 microns. And you would say that there's particles above 50 microns that the King probe is detecting. So that's the other thing. You know, when you say King liquid water, this is up to 200 microns approximately. So these are not liquid waters that are over the same size range. Right? I mean, I'm comparing two of these, but they're not sensitive to the same size range. Have we, you know, should we try to tune the wires and get them here? So, but maybe the King is high, and there's lots of different things we can do for some of this. You know, we can improve our in-cloud algorithm by using the 2DS probe. We can check our calibrations. We can refine them. We can go look at that data. We can subset the data for the other ones. But, you know, again, in the model, you know, if you're comparing to a model, right, I mean, you might have crowd water content. So, you know, there you're only computing up to some size.
So the whole point for our probes, the whole point for the calibration points is literally just to make sure everything's working.
Well, no, what we need to do on the calphites, and that's what I'll get into, I guess, if you go through the next equations, is actually I've been looking at the manual, and with the WCM, we've been using and accepting the serial data that comes in real time from the WCM, basically the serial D1 stream. And I'm not 100% sure that that's working because, again, there's some equations in there. I don't know exactly what their code is doing, but they do give us the raw measurements of voltage and amperage where we can calculate power directly from the wire. The total sensor, the liquid sensor, and the compensator. So we can go through and we're in the process of writing the code to take the raw data and recalculate the liquid water content. And if you read the manual, there's multiple ways to do it on the instruments. And there's more than one choice even. And so you still have the same power total, is dry plus wet. And then what you really want to get is the wet power, because that's what gives you the liquid in total. And these, of course, depend on air speed, air density, temperature, and the geometry of the elements, and maybe even the flight geometry, how they are on the airplanes. So that's, again, you know, if we compare it to another aircraft, it wouldn't necessarily be flying at the same speeds. You know, this one, what do we get? We got a mean of 130 meters per second. The Citation flies about 90 meters per second. So different speeds. How does that affect these probes? But the equation is the same here for the wet and dry terms. And then they have the sensing element and the compensating element, and they abbreviate compensation element as COMP. And here you have sensors wet and a sensor total, and then a sensor dry is where they define it in the manual. And the compensator wet, compensator total, the power for the compensator. And one of the things they do is that you can look at the dry power. It's really what you want to know is what the power is dry, which means you're just radiating heat away. You're not taking any heat away from the evaporation of water or ice. So you have this compensating element power that's very highly correlated to what the dry power term is. So you could put that in there. Is, you know, it's basically, that's the idea of the compensator. You could just say that the slope is one, offset is zero, but it's not quite there. And that's what the clear air calibrations would do. You know, we rate the compensator to the dry term when you fly out a crowd. So we can go through and check, is the dry term equal to what we're using for the slope and offset for the compensator on this particular probe head? How well are they in there? The problem is this is one reason I don't like the real-time data, is that you can't go reapply that. You got to have the raw data terms, which we do, but we need to write the program to calculate all these.
Is that already a program?
Nope.
To do this?
Nope. Has anybody had time to write it?
Well, I would think that people who made the probe.
No, they manufacture probes. The manufacturers have no, they're hardware people.
They're just here plugging in.
Oh, it should work.
Yeah, but they calibrate it, don't they?
Yeah, and it works. They've done these and they put it in wind tunnels and see data, but you have to get it working on this particular probe with this particular calibration on this particular aircraft with this airspeed. And
but don't they have something that does this?
Yeah, the real-time data. That's what we're getting. But is it right? Do we have the right elements in there? Is there something wrong with it? Hopefully, we need to double check that, right? You think it's right? We have the data. I mean,
so we would just recreate the data.
Yeah.
Putting this.
Yeah.
Would you call this a filter? Not
really. No, this is a post processing method of calculating the parameters, but it gets more tricky. Is you got to make sure you have these right slopes and offset for this airplane. Okay, that's why we got to do the flights for the calibrations and calculate these and check them. The other way, let's see here, to do this. So that's the, so I got this one labored. WCM equations using compensated power. So this is using the measured compensation power to get your dry term. Okay. This is not available on a King pool. So you can do it the method where you calculate what the dry power would be. Similar to what the King probe does. We have to with the King probe because we don't have a compensator. So here you have the equation. And again, you got your constants, which you have to get for this particular head and this particular aircraft configuration. Okay. And this goes back to in here now. Oops, sorry. They make a note in the, this is very similar to the King, but you see they use pressure instead of density times the true airspeed. Well, sorry, instead of using density, because the true airspeed is still in here. And we've done this with the King probe when we go back and forth. Some people have recommended to use pressure and some people have recommended to use density. And they make the note in the manual. A more correct approach from a unit standpoint is to use ambient air density instead of ambient pressure. So that's what's done in the King Cal. We're using air density in the above equation. However, experience has shown that a more useful prediction is achieved using ambient pressure. And they don't explain why. No. Jennifer needs to write the paper.
Why would they just, from their experience?
Yeah. So I'm looking at wind tunnel tests. I'm looking at flight data. So that's the other question now. So now I can calculate the dry power term two different ways. I can calculate it with the compensating element, and I can calculate it by calculating the dry term. Then I can calculate the dry term calculation using pressure and density. So there's already three different ways to calculate the dry term power. So should we go through and write the equations to calculate off three of these? Then we'll have three WCM liquid water terms. And there's no, you know, they said that pressure is better. Is that just because it's more accurate? So there's a lot of open questions on how you calculate these. And then you got to go back and, you know, you got to pick out the good segments to be able to compare with. And how do you know which one's best? Because you don't know any truth.
That's what I was confused. Like, you don't know what the true value. So how are you supposed to know which one works best?
I don't.
So this literally means nothing. This bottom bullet. Like, oh yeah, in our experience, it works better to what?
Yeah. So that's, maybe it's more consistent. I don't know. It's not like a comparison to a true value. So where is some liquid water in a crowd? You know, do we compare to something like an adiabatic liquid water in the cores of the crowds and say we can't be above the adiabatic? 30 years ago, they thought they could get super adiabatic liquid water crowds. Is that a good assumption? Where is the true value And, you know, let's go and find some adiabatic cumulus type of clouds and penetrator cores to get some data on this particular aircraft. You know, because we don't tend to do that in the winter storms.
What would give you a more accurate measurement? A WCM that is stationary, like on a measuring water content at a fixed point versus flying through
the cloud? It's fundamentally needs an airspeed. Neither one of these, all these probes don't work unless it's moving. And if you go back and look, right, you're taking a difference between two of these terms, the wet and dry power. Mm-hmm. And the wet and dry power, the amount of power that's on these, as we talked about last time, is dependent on true airspeed. So as your true airspeed gets lower, these two power terms get closer together and you're subtracting two terms that are going to be very close together.
So is it possible to measure full water at a fixed point?
At a fixed point. Like in a fog or something, you can pull the air through like a CDP.
But that still depends on...
You can look at something like...
new derivative from...
some type of scattering measurement. Yeah. You know, a visibility sensor, a LIDAR, some type of volumetric scattering sensor.
I'm just trying to figure out ways on how to get closer to what the true value would be.
So the thing to do is we got to do good calibrations, check our calibrations. We check our calibrations. Do a lot of calibration flight data. Come up with some uncertainties to these so that we know what the uncertainties are in these measurements. So the other thing, like for the CDP, we can come up with, if I go back to the CDP, I got to go back way to the beginning of the equations. So here's the CDP equation. We could talk about uncertainties, but, you know, what we've done for other probes is we put uncertainty on N and D cubed. And then propagate them uncertainties through the equation. Yeah, you can put uncertainties into your calibration equations and propagate them through so that you would have uncertainties of both of these measurements.
So for example, for going back to the WCM, how do you know when it is calibrated?
You know the dry term is calibrated.
Right.
You know, so you should be able to get a linear fit when of your equations. But we'll look at some more, and they're not, it's supposed to be linear with airspeed and your changes in your densities. But you got multiple things changing. Right. So you go through, and that's why we do the speed runs. You stay at one altitude and you change the airspeed and you see that linear fit.
But you also said like the geometry of the aircraft and how probe is positioned on the aircraft also.
That could change it. The other thing that's I think is in here that I've talked about before is the relative humidity of the air too for the dry term. There's other things that are in here too that I haven't talked about, and how much is it in the equations? Because there's a couple more things in the manual that they talk about. Is I put this one out, the specific heat of liquid water, that CW and the latent heat. I guess it's not the specific heat, it's the latent heat of vaporization. There's a couple of things to know is what's the temperature of the wire and what's that latent heat term. And then a lot of times assumed to be a constant, but they are not. So you should calculate them terms and add that to the processing equations and try to make less assumptions in the processing to reduce that. And then do the comparisons for, conditions where they should all agree. Take a pure liquid cloud that's not super cool. Maybe, I guess it doesn't matter so much if it's super cool, but if it's above zero, then you know there's no ice. Or significantly above zero. So look at a pure liquid water cloud. Look at the CDP spectrum and find a liquid water cloud that doesn't have any particles in the 40 to 50 micron size so that you know everything is, is the size ranges, at least on the upper end, are going to be comparable. But remember, these are fundamentally different measurements. The CDP does not measure liquid water, is calculated from the spectrum. And we can play games, we can make one match the other, but we don't know which one is what. So this is what modelers do too. They have models and they don't disagree. They take an ensemble. Take an ensemble of the three measurements.
Could we?
You could. I don't know if a reviewer will accept that, but because that's a, what is that then? That's averaging three measurements. People would like me to tell them which one's best, right? Which one should I use? And I'll go back to, what are you using it for?
Could that be, I don't know.
Some sense I don't know, but
yeah.
But sometimes it's like, what do you want to get at? Are you really concerned about liquid water and how, and you want a spectrum with that, where you just want the bulk property? And then what's your size range? Are you going to go above 50 microns? Because, this is the same thing, like the FAA, they publish aircraft icing statistics. They say, liquid water in a cloud, you need to measure it and your aircraft needs to be able to fly this long for a certain amount of liquid water. But they don't define what size range that is. So you measure it with different probes, you get different answers. Well, which one is in the manual? Which one are you comparing to? So it's not a, liquid water is, total liquid water from all droplets, from all sizes. Is, I guess, typically what you would measure. And we go back to the same question of, are there really droplets in there that are liquid at 100 microns. How do we know? Them are ice or water particles. Lots of interesting questions.
You have an imaging probe that is associated with it.
Yeah. So that helps us.
But then you bring in the shattering problems.
Yeah. But create me a cloud that we can fly our airplane through. But these are probes on the same aircraft. Try to do two different aircraft. Try to compare between multiple projects and multiple clouds. The idea is this, that you got to understand that this uncertainty. So, and the uncertainty is not like 0.1%. So it's like 50% here, because about 30%, 50% on some of these, it depends. But it depends if, you know, is this really a difference? Well, I'm mixing and matching the different instruments for this. So, okay, we got a few minutes left. Any questions online? Me and Christian's been talking.
All right.
I didn't get any more slides done today. Jen, you're not saying anything.
Well, I had a question, but I think you answered it. Because I was wondering how the change in temperature of the wire was going to affect that. Because the king is, what, 185?
Yeah.
And the WCM is
140. Yeah. So, you know, the wire temperature is different.
Yeah.
And I'm not 100% sure why they go that lower. They lower the temperature because the Nazora probe also uses 140.
Okay.
And so, but the King probe also, I think you could change that temperature. There's no reason that it has to be on that. So does that make a difference to this, and how much?
So you said that we typically consider like latent heat of vaporization constant. Is it constant at that specific temperature of 185?
Yeah, but okay. The wire temperature, the problem that you have is you need to know what temperature the droplets evaporating at. So you have that C constant, specific heat of liquid water. You're taking the sensor minus an air temperature to determine what temperature the droplet is evaporated at.
Mm-hmm.
And what is that temperature? Because you have the temperature of the wire and you have the temperature of the air. But there's a range between the two. So what is the temperature where the water is changing from the liquid to the gas state?
Yeah.
And there's probably a range of temperatures along that surface.
Well, also, we're sampling within ranges of what, like above freezing and below freezing.
Yeah, your air temperature's changing.
Yeah. So does that also add into the change in the specific heat?
Well, yeah, because the air temperature is in the equation.
Yeah.
But I don't know that, you know, there's nothing magical about the zero, except that's the thermodynamic phase change, but the droplets can be super cooled.
Mm-hmm.
So And then the other thing that's also a problem too is we should look at the King element wires, because the wires can deteriorate too.
Yeah.
And so that would be the other thing is, you know, if you go and put another Sensen element, which we did, right? We changed the King Sensen wire.
I think that was in 2020, though.
That was 2020. Okay.
Because I don't think we ever did it, but I remember Kendra talking about how she did it. Unless when we got it back from Chad last year.
I thought we did it before you were there.
Probably.
Do you remember, Christian?
Changing what?
The King hot wire. Sensen element.
Did you do that during integration?
I don't think so.
Mm. Well, maybe it was before. This is why we got to have good notes. So something like that could also change the elements, because they found this was a problem with the DMT ones. They have a coating on the elements and the ice can chip away at that coating and change how it performs. So all kinds of different things. All right. Any question? Any other comments online? Peter, Andrew, anybody? Let's see here. We got. Does everybody have? You guys all have access to the data, and you can plot up the data, look at these files. Any data access issues? No one's saying anything, so I take that as a no. So we need some, and the, oh, there's lots of things I noticed in the data. Do we want to look at any of the data? I was going to look and see and make sure on my slide, this one, I was a question on, which one? This one was, I got that. This should be King. Yeah, so this is WCM King probe. And so this should be King. Right. So
a question about the calibration. That's just an offset to the zero reference, right?
No. Well, yes and no.
Isn't it just a subtraction of the dry term from the total?
Yes. It's a subtraction of the dry term. And then the part of the problem is there's multiple ways to do that. You know, you do that correction of the dry term, and then you don't get zeros out of crowds. And that's why I go back through and readjust them zero values, because that dry term, that difference should be zero, right? Because if you have this wet term and you're out of cloud, well, the power total minus power dry needs to be zero. to give you a zero liquid water. And it doesn't sometimes. And that's why we go back and we force it to. But that's telling us that our dry term isn't quite right, or there's a difference between the two or something. But that's why we go back and force them. But we have to know when you're out of cloud to be able to do that.
I guess I was going in a little bit different direction with that. If like go back to one of your scatter plots that has the WCM and the King. Yeah. So here, that offset, that would show up in just your, I guess, the B term right there, 0.009, right? You know, if we calibrate better, that doesn't necessarily suggest that this would improve. It's just going to shift one of the lines up or down, but you're still going to have the, it's still going to measure differently.
Yeah. Well, that's here. This is one case of the data. See, it's below zero. Here's your zero value. And these ones are below zero. And so that's not right. It should be up. You know that.
Yeah, but you're not even plotting that in your scatter plot, and you're still seeing.
Yeah, but
a factor it affects, of 0.5.
Yeah, but it if this is not. Yeah, so I can take away from that, but even outside of it, it's not right, because if you go out between these two points, the data between them should be higher by that much. So we need to get them out of crowd data a little bit better. And, you know, here, you know, you're at 0.05 or something, or 0.05, maybe 0.1 here. So that's kind of poor when your range is only up to, let's say, 1. You know, that's 10% error, and that's not that good. So that would be the other thing I need to do, is we need to take in something like the 2DS to tell us that we're in cloud or not. And again, that code hasn't been written, because in previous projects, we did not have a cloud imaging pro from DMT, and that's in the code. And also that's in the King code and not in the WCM code. So you got to use both of them, have two different terms to define the in-cloud data, and hopefully get that a little bit better. So you can get more and more sophisticated in these processing algorithms, but at some point is, when is it good enough? Because I've taken out of, you know, it's been improved a lot from the raw data. And I've shown you the raw unadjusted data. But obviously it's not good when you have, you know, the negative liquid water values. But the WCM has less negative liquid water than the King probe. So that would indicate that, to me, that maybe the WCM is better, because it's not getting quite as negative values. And you know, and that's the other thing too, because it's very hard with this data set, because we don't have very many out of cloud data. All these flights were in cloud for most of the time, which is very different than something like this, where you're in and out of cloud all the time. So you have some out of cloud data to adjust to. And then what do you do in cloud when you're changing airspeed and temperatures? Because you kind of have to assume that when you penetrate the cloud, you know, you only have two out of cloud points. So that maybe the other thing is maybe we're doing too much baseline adjustments. And, you know, if you don't have an out of cloud point, you should just go with the unadjusted one, because, you know, if you, particularly if you change altitudes and stuff. So that's why, if you want really good total concentrations, you need out of cloud data. That goes back to Christian's work in CAPEX. 2015, we weren't near the core so much, and we got a lot more out of cloud data with the same instruments. And so that made a better data set so that we could get better zeros, because we always had a out of cloud data at the same altitude. So tell the, you know, go through the storms and go past them so we get some out of cloud data. But is that important to anything? Because there's other considerations of what you're doing when you're flying around, not just getting good WCM data.
I think they care more about lining up at the year or two than
so you got a cloud. Yeah. So you don't want to sacrifice your alignment with the ER2 to get a little bit better data that no one has shown that you really need it. So what? I'm off by 0.1 in liquid water. You know, do you need better data? We can get it, but there's always trade-offs. And effort and work and... So I love getting good data and making good measurements, but they're never going to be perfect, and they're never going to be without any uncertainty. So what's good enough? So that's why we try to calculate uncertainties, so we know what the uncertainty is. But that's a lot of work. We'll talk about that sometime here. How to calculate the uncertainties. All right, I think I've used up all my time just about, so we'll just stop there, and I'll try to make up some more plots and look at some more of the calibration stuff to improve this, and maybe just say how much we can improve, and maybe go look at some specific cases when they should agree and how well it does at them cases. So, all right, did I stop sharing my screen, everybody? So we'll talk on Tuesday, and hopefully I'll have some more plots to show you to mystify and confuse you even more. Okay, I'll talk to you next week.